continuing a message that I started last week, and looking at the time, it may continue to next week. But we're talking about to know Him is to love others. To know Him is to love others. What we learned last week is that in order to know Him, we need to keep His commandments. We need to follow His word. And as we look at this middle section of 1 John chapter 2, it's a reminder for us to stay in close relationship with God and to have Him ever before us. So before we get into it, let's, as we always do, go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the gift of prayer, to just stop and lift our voices and lift our hearts to You. But Lord, we pray not only do we speak, more importantly, do we hear. Let us hear what the Spirit has to say to us. Teach us Your word. Teach us Your ways. We want to be those Christians that are not ashamed of the gospel. We want to be those Christians that maybe even when things go difficult, even when things get hard, that we can still endure. We can still find hope in You. For we know, God, You can change our circumstances in a word. You can speak it and things will change. And so let us just believe that in our hearts. Let our faith be increased here this morning as we study and read Your word. Bless Your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. During Bill's second month of college, his professor gave the class a pop quiz. Bill was a conscientious student and had breezed through the questions until he read the last one, which said, "What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school?" Surely this was some kind of joke, Bill thought. Bill had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was tall, dark-haired, in her 50s, but how would he know her name? He handed in his paper, leaving the last question blank. Just before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward their quiz grade. The professor said, "Absolutely. In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello." I wonder how many people in our lives we just see all the time but don't know anything about them. Maybe don't even know their name. It's a reminder for us that God knows everyone. God knows your name. God knows you specifically. And it's an opportunity for us to be mindful of the people that are around us. It was just yesterday I was walking my dog. Anyway, I was walking my dog, and this gentleman was walking towards me. And if it's a man walking towards me as I'm walking a little white dog on a pink leash, I get a little... what's that word?
Unmanly.
Yes. So I try to muster as much manliness as I can. "How are you?" Yeah. Most of the times I go, "Don't laugh at me, please." But I said, "How are you?" And you know how you do when you cross people, when you pass? "How are you? Good. How are you? Good." And off we went. And even before I found this little story of this Bill in college, as the man walked by, I just had this overwhelming sense that I needed to ask him more than, "Are you okay? Are you really okay?" Don't we do that in our lives? We just pass by each other. "You good? Yeah, I'm good. You good? Yeah, I'm good." And are we really good? And the question becomes, can we be honest with each other? Can we be real with each other and say, "You know, how are you today? I'm terrible. I don't feel good. I'm going through something. It's difficult." Have you ever had someone say, when you said to them, "How are you today?" "Not good." Ever? Try it sometime. I mean, don't lie. But if someone asks you how you're doing, and you're not doing good, say, "I'm not doing good." They'll look at you like, "Whoa, that's not the response I was expecting." But that's the reality that we should realize, is that we have opportunities, even with people we don't know. Maybe there's someone you see every day of every week, you pumpkin spice latte going kind of people. Do you know your barista's name? Do you? Nobody's going to admit it because they don't want to admit they get the pumpkin slice lattes. But that's an opportunity right there to meet someone and to talk to them. Because here's the reality. If you really pay attention to someone, they will open up to you. If they know that you're sincere, if they know that you're real, if they know that you're willing to sit down and talk them for a minute or find out what's going on in their life, they'll begin to share with you. Why? Because most people don't care. So we need to be those people that do care because God cares for them. And so I thought this was a great reminder for us as Christians, those that are trying to make a difference in the world, those that are trying to shed the light of Jesus Christ, to be mindful of the people that we just go by and don't pay any attention to. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to make a difference. And that's what John's talking about. He's talking about paying attention and loving people in your life. That's what God's called us to do. That's the commandment from him. And John, we talked about that last week. That was the first thing. To know him is to follow his commands. And what's his command? To love people. So as a review, let's just read from verse 3 through verse 11 again. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Again, last week we talked about the obedience to the word. So to know him is to know his word. To know him is to follow his commandments. If we know his word, we're going to fulfill his word and obey his word. Now we're moving into verses 7 through 11, and we're moving into the commitment to love. Not only do we have to have the obedience to the word, but we need to be committed to love people, to love others. Because that's the commandment that John is talking about. Verses 7 and 8, he kind of says, hey, it's no new commandment, it's an old commandment you've had from the beginning. And then in the next verse, he goes, I'm giving you a new commandment. What's he talking about? He's talking about the old commandment has always been to love. Jesus came to show love, the love of God to the world, and how much he loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That if you believe in him, you'll live forever. So it's an old commandment that's been from the beginning, but it's a new commandment because it needs to be fresh in our hearts. It needs to be that thing that we constantly are known by our love, known by who we are in Christ. Do people know you because of your love? And maybe the question should be, how do people know you? If I said your name to someone you know, how would they describe you? Boy, they're a loving person. Always love being around them. They're always so encouraging. They're always, they have a positive attitude. Now, this isn't a, I'm seeing some people going, oh, man, don't be discouraged. The good news is the love of God that's in us can come out of us. You can't love other people if you're not receiving the love of God. It was many, many years ago, I was praying with a pastor, and I prayed, God, I pray that your love would fill us so that we can love each other. And later I got a phone call from that very same pastor saying, why do you think I don't have love for you? I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, why did you pray that God's love's in me so I can love you? I said, because doesn't that make sense? I was like, I wasn't being critical. I was just saying, I can't love him if I don't have God's love. You can't love anybody unless you receive the love of God. And the reality is the purposes of our hearts and the purposes of God's saving you is so that you would show his love to others. So he says in verse 7, again, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. Again, the Gnostics were around in the days that John wrote this letter. The Gnostics were those who thought everything was a new discovery. You know, people like that? Everything's new and everything's exciting. So John's saying, listen, I'm not writing you a new commandment. He's kind of going against the Gnostics. Listen, this is an old commandment. This is something that we've had from the beginning. And we talked about that last week. We talked about the first commandment of God is what? To have no other gods before me. To put God first. Is God a priority in your life? He needs to be. Because here's the reality. What you put first in your life is what you'll spend your most of your time on. I'm trying to find my water. Here we go. Think about that. The thing you spend the most time with is the thing you'll put most of your priorities in. What is it you spend most of your time doing? Where do you find yourself investing most of your time in a day? Is it the office? Is it the internet? Is it social media? Where is the investment of your time? We must look at our day, we must look at our itinerary and say, God, where am I allowing you in? Where am I inviting you in? Not that any of those things are bad, but is God using you in those things? Is God using you in your workplace? Is God using you in social media? I love seeing other Christians posting things on Instagram and stuff that remind me of God. That, to me, that's encouraging. And that's what we need in this world. So I ask you, what's consuming most of your time? Is God involved in everything you do? Do you check in with the Lord regularly throughout the day? Have you heard this song? I always get the guy's name wrong. Is it Carlton Dixon? Is that his name? Colton Dixon? More of You. Have you heard this song he sings? More of You. I was driving, and I confessed this to my staff the other day. I was driving on the highway singing this song. And basically this song talks about, Lord, I need more of You so that I have less of me. So, I mean, it's just a great song. The lyrics are excellent. And I'm singing this song when somebody cuts in front of me on the highway. And immediately my prayer is, more of You, Lord, and less of me, to get out of my way. What is wrong with you? And I said, see, Lord, I do need more of You. In the midst of our days, things get crazy. And it's like, Lord, we need more of You in the midst of our days. I don't know if you're a kind of a planner person, like at 9 o'clock you do this, at 10 o'clock you do that, at 11 o'clock you do this. I suggest every once in a while, think about God. Put that on your calendar. Put that on your itinerary. Think about God. Spend some time in prayer. See, I think what we do, we try to back end our schedules with God. You know, at the end of the day, just before we fall asleep, I'll pray to God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever found yourself falling asleep before you got to the third word? It's like, no, don't give God the last of your day. Give God the first of your day. Make Him a priority, and He'll be a priority in everything. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It's not too many pages to the right. Jesus is speaking, all red letters. And He's talking to the churches. There's seven of them. We're going to look at one this morning. Revelation 2, verse 1 says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says He who holds the seven stars in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. Your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now, give me your attention real quick. Don't read the next verse. Don't. Too late. You did. Look at this church. The church of Ephesus was a church that was laboring in the Lord, was working for God. Okay? They had patience. This is a church that prayed for patience, and guess what? They had patience. They tested those who said they were apostles, said they were followers of Christ, and realized they weren't. They were liars. This was a church that was doing church. This was a church that was probably vibrant, was active and involved in the community and involved in each other's life. This was a good church. They were, again, they persevered to the end. But notice in verse 4. Now, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. What's that? A church that is serving the Lord? A church that is making a difference in the community? A church that is active in good works? On the outside, everything looked great. But Jesus says, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. You've left, what happened is, Jesus was no longer number one in their lives. The things that they were doing for Jesus was number one in their lives. Do you see the danger in this? On the first impression, you're like, wait, that doesn't make sense. I thought serving the Lord was doing things. It is. But if you're doing it with the wrong heart, if you're doing it with the wrong attitude, Jesus says, it doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, mark that down in your notes. 1 Corinthians 13 is the scripture, the chapter that talks about love and what godly love is, right? Love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, all these things. But before that it says, if you do all these things for me, if you prophesy in my name, if you cast out demons in my name, if you lead people to the Lord in my name, but you don't do it with a love, it's worthless. Has to be motivated by love. And this church was doing church, but they were missing the God of that church. God forbid that we ever get ourselves into the place of we need to serve God to please God. No, no, no. We need to love God to please God, and then we serve God because we love Him and we want to serve Him. It was many years ago, early in my ministry, a young man was coming to our church, great believer, was involved in men's ministry and all, and was at the men's Bible studies and men's prayer and all those things. And then he met a girl, got married. I went through premarital with him, a friend officiated their wedding. They got pregnant. They had a baby. Okay, so this, I'm kind of giving you a lot of years going on here. He comes up to me one Sunday. He goes, Pastor Rob, he goes, man, God has so blessed me. My job is great. My wife is amazing. My child is so wonderful. He says, I find myself so busy. I really want to serve in the church, though. And in that moment, I just felt the presence of God come over me and say, dude, your responsibility right now is to serve your wife and to serve your child. You don't need to be serving in ministry. But the heart was right. He wanted to serve the Lord, but the timing was wrong. And I've seen this time and time again in couples' lives, in families' lives, where one spouse just serves in the church all the time, but to the neglect of the family. And it's a danger, my friends. Listen, I love people that come up to me and want to serve the Lord. Trust me, I'm not saying don't serve in the church. When someone comes up to me and says they want to serve in the church, I want to give them an opportunity to serve. But I want to make sure it's the right time. I want to make sure it's the right season for you to serve in the church. Because again, it's not about doing for God, it's about being God. Is your relationship with God right? Is your heart right? Is the timing right to serve? So you should serve the Lord, but it has to be compelled by love, not by commitment or obligation, right? I just believe that if you serve with your heart, your whole heart, you'll serve all the days of your life. It'll be a joy. I love to serve the Lord. I love the opportunities that God gives to me. It doesn't even feel like a real job. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. You should do it. But listen, there's a whole list of other things and other responsibilities that you have. And yes, you put God first. But your spouse is next. Your family is next. Church is down the list, my friends. I think there's no greater joy than serving in the ministry. And I try to make sure that the people that volunteer at this church are doing it with the right heart. I remember one time one guy came up to me and said, yeah, he goes, every time I come to church, I'm angry. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, every time I come to church, I'm angry. So we're probably going to leave the church. Okay. I said, He goes, but, you know, we're gonna fulfill our commitment. We've still got 6 months to serve, and then we'll leave. And I said, so you're coming to church every day angry, and you still want to serve? He goes, yes. I said, no. The heart has to be there. I don't need people to do things. I need Holy Spirit-filled people to put chairs up and pray for that chair that you're sitting in. You know that we do that? You know that every service people walk around and pray over the seat that you're sitting in? Why? Because we want you to receive the Word of God and receive it in your heart so that it makes a difference in your life. This isn't just, hey, put chairs up and let's hope something happens. My staff and I have been sitting down talking about Sunday mornings is game day for us. And Sunday mornings is so important to us that we're praying that people get saved. We're praying that people get transformed. We're praying that lives are renewed, that marriages become stronger, that Christians become more mature, that you understand the Word. We want to make a difference. So we expect God to do something in your life. Guess what? He does, doesn't he? He does. God wants to use you, but he has to use you in the right way and in the right capacity as long as your heart is right. So maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, I haven't served in this ministry and I would like to. Maybe you should. Come talk to us. Let's pray about it. Let's see if the timing is right. God is to be number one in your life. And God is the one that tells you what to do. I don't. Here's the reality. People come up to you, I want to serve in the church. Where do you want to serve? You tell me where. Wherever is the need. I say, I'm not going to tell you where. Because you know what's going to happen? If I tell you to start cleaning the toilets, you're going to do that for a week or two, and then you're going to find another church. I want you to do what God tells you to do. Because if God tells you to clean the toilets, guess what you'll do? You'll clean the toilets. The good news is we don't have to clean the toilets. Martin Center does that for us. Leave Revelation chapter 2. Now go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Now, again, remembering what John said in 1 John, no new commandment do I give to you, but it's one that's been given from the beginning. And then in verse 8, he says, a new commandment I give to you. And what we're seeing here is what Jesus called the greatest commandment. Look with me at verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang, look at, all the law and the prophets. And if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first group are all about God, and the second half or five or six are all about your neighbor and loving others and not coveting stuff. So Jesus is condensing all the commandments of God, saying love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the most important things to Jesus and to God. Do you see the order, though? God, you have to love first. You cannot love anybody to the fullest capacity if you're not loving God. If you're not receiving the love from heaven, it just can't be done. Husbands in here, right? God tells us to love our wives just as Christ loved the church. That's a high responsibility for us. We can't do that on our own. We can try, but we need to receive that love from the Father. And if you love God with everything that you are, He will be first in your life. Now, the interesting thing here, I'm going to put them overhead. You know, Jesus doesn't just make these up. I don't know if they're italicized in your Bible, but he's quoting Old Testament scriptures. And you can write these down if you want. Deuteronomy 6:5 says this, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. That's Deuteronomy. Leviticus 19:18 says this, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So Jesus is quoting Old Testament scriptures, reaffirming to us that these are the most important things that God has on his heart. Love me. Have no other gods before me. Do you know what that means? It doesn't mean idols. It means anything that distracts you from God. It can be another god in your life. Your career can be another god. Your spouse can be another god. Anything that is more important to you than God. So that's an evaluation that we must make. What's more important to me? Is there something more important to me than God? Boy, I hope not. And I see this, you know, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. With all your heart, to me, that is service. Serving God with a commitment, loving him with all of your heart, right? It's not the things that you do. It's not the ways you do it. God sees your heart. I mean, if I'm straightening chairs in here and grumbling and complaining because I had to get up early and traffic and can't believe I'm here early, it's cold outside, should I really be doing it? God's going, what are you doing? Get out of here. We got to do it with the heart to say, I get to serve the Lord. I get to serve in the house of God. And a couple weeks back, I asked the congregation, if God had been stirring in you any kind of vision, any kind of ministry or motivation, it's on your heart, you want it to be done, but you don't know how to do it. And we've been blessed by two people coming forward. And we're praying and organizing these ministries to see how they're going to make an impact in the world or in the church or in this community. And you might be in here and you're hearing from God and you're going, God, I know you asked me to do this, but I don't know how to do that. Well, that's the thing. God gives the vision to one. And then we get others around us to support the vision. What is it? What is it in your heart? What is it that God wants you to do? How is it that God wants to use you? Because trust me, when you're doing what God's called you to do, you're going to give him all the glory. You're going to stand back and go, I can't believe this is coming to reality. God put this on my heart, and look, this is happening. So that, you got to have the heart of service. With all your soul means passion. Where's your passion for God? Where's your determination for the Lord? The passion that's vibrant, that attracts people to you. And then lastly, with your strength or your mind, to me, that's obedience. To love the Lord with all your strength. What does that mean? Strong? I love the Lord with all my strength. Can't be that. I think what it is, with all our strength and with all our mind, is when we're in the midst of a trial, that we don't give up. To love the Lord with all my strength means, God, I'm trusting you to get me through this. It's really hard. And I want to give up. And I don't think I'm going to make it, but I'm going to trust you, Lord. That's loving God with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our intelligence. Do you love him that much? Have you found him to be that amazing and that faithful to you? Even in the smallest of things. Even in seeing God answer your prayer. Has God been answering and listening and answering your prayers? Have you been putting them before his throne and all of a sudden you're seeing him orchestrating things in your life? That's a powerful thing, isn't it? And I encourage you, pray for yourself, but seek others to pray with you. Seek others to pray. It was Wednesday night Bible study. I just found this out last night. Somebody asked me to pray for a family member of theirs, and I'm like, okay. They didn't give me any specifics. I mean, I just prayed. Lord, bless this person. God, provide for this person. I don't even really remember what I prayed. I found out last night that I prayed exactly what this person was hoping I was going to pray, and they were shocked at what I prayed. And God answered that prayer within, what, 4 or 5 days. And to me, I look back and I go, wow, I'm pretty anointed. No, I didn't say that. I said, wow, God used me. God used me. God wants to use you too, my friends. He wants to use you your personality, your giftings, your talents, he wants to use them. And what I'd like to do to close out this service is ask everybody to stand. I want you to be able to put a hand at least on one other person in this room. So if you have to move a little bit to put a hand on someone. Let's ask God to pour his love into us so that we can love others. And especially love those that we don't feel like loving. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We're reminded that you are love. And in your infinite love, Lord, you have made a way for us to receive that love through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we stand and lay hands upon our brothers and sisters in this room. And we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would pour your love into us. God, maybe for some of us in this room this morning, we just needed to know that you do love us. Maybe for some of us, we've done some dumb things this week. We've made some mistakes. We've made some bad choices. We feel defeated. We feel maybe dirty. But God, to be reminded that you love us even in that condition encourages us. And so I pray for those in this room this morning that are discouraged and not feeling your love. Lord, let them know that you love them. Let them know you have plans for them, that you're working out the situations in their lives. And I pray, God, as we anoint each other with this love, that it would be contagious. I pray that it would spread throughout this community, throughout our workplaces, our schools, our churches, our world. Lord, let the love of Christ flow through us. For your word clearly says, they will know we are your disciples if we have love for each other. And so we pray this week, as we walk by a stranger, as we come in contact with someone we don't know, that we would take the time and make sure they're doing good. Make sure that they're receiving your love. Lord, use us. Use us. Help us to get outside of our fears and the things that hinder us. And let us, as it says in Hebrews, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Bless your church. Bless your people. Bless our lives. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.